If you're in a position to do so, I'd like for you to get your Bible if you can and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I hope to look at verses 19 through 23. And I've entitled today's message, Satanic Infection. You see, this nation has become seriously, satanically infected. And tragically, much of the church has as well. So I'm going to go to God in prayer right after this. And I'm going to ask you to join with me in prayer as I go before the throne of God in prayer on behalf of the nation right after this.
Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit. Groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. But then I see you standing near me, shining with compassion in your eyes. Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
Heavenly Father, Father God, we as a nation have sinned. And so much of the church, or what is called the church, in the nation has sinned. Even a great deal of the religious organizations in the nation have sinned and are sinning. And Father, we need a move of your Holy Spirit in the land, renewing your people, strengthening your people, convicting, convincing, illuminating your people, so that we would give ourselves to repentance, holiness, and intercessory prayer. Whatever judgment you choose to bring upon the nation will be that which is needed, because you know exactly what is needed. And so I'm asking you today to stir the hearts of your people to be in prayer, repenting on behalf of this nation, the leadership in this nation, the church in this nation. Now, Father, we have a lot of religious organizations that like to think of themselves as part of the church, but we know that the church is made up of those people who have been purchased by the blood of Christ, who have been convicted by the Holy Spirit of their sin, have come to you confessing their sinners, asking you to forgive them of their sin, and then being cleansed from their sin by the blood of Christ Jesus, and then being adopted into the family of God. So, Father, I'm asking you today to stir the hearts of those who have been born again. And, Father, if you would penetrate the darkness of so many of the religious movements and bring out of those religious movements those who sincerely, truly want to be a child of yours, show them what it means to be born again, convict them of their sin, reveal the word to them, and let them come to you confessing themselves as sinners, asking you, Christ Jesus, by faith to come into their heart and be their Savior, their Lord, and their Master. Father, we need spiritual restoration. We need a revival. We need a restoration of godly values, godly standards in the land. I'm asking you to stir the hearts of your people to prayer, that we might achieve that, that we might receive that, as a result of a move of your Holy Spirit in our land. So we ask for this in the name of Christ Jesus. We ask in the name of Christ Jesus that you would do that. And if you will, we'll give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. We thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In our Bibles, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23, as I said, I've entitled this Satanic Infection. This nation has become satanically infected. And tragically, a great deal of the expression of the church, the body of Christ on earth today, in this nation, has become satanically infected. Which means, many who claim Christ as Savior have themselves become satanically infected. Infected by that which Satan produces in their lives, the deception. And so many are deceived. So many are deceived about what it means to be a child of God. So many think that if they simply belong to an expression of religion, are baptized, are christened, and then become a faithful member of that expression of religion, that is tantamount to being born again. It is not. That is not tantamount to being born again. To be born again, one must recognize they're a sinner. Come before God, come before Christ Jesus, confessing they are a sinner, and asking Christ Jesus to forgive them for their sin. Mary cannot forgive the sin. Peter cannot forgive the sin. No priest nor preacher can forgive the sin. Only Christ can forgive the sin. And until Christ is approached with the sin, and the sin is confessed to Christ, only then is it forgiven. The sin is put to death. In the truest sense of the word, as I've told you many times, God does not forgive sin. Sin had to be put to death in Christ Jesus on the cross. God forgives the sinner by putting that sin to death in Christ Jesus. So much of the church has become satanically infected, which means that many who claim Christ as Savior have become satanically infected. With that thought in mind, I've entitled this Satanic Infection. But there is hope. There is hope. Hope for those who will believe the Word of God. Hope for those who will receive the Word of God. Hope for those who will obey the Word of God. A faithful church has access to the power of God. Let that escape you. Do not let what I just said escape you. A faithful church has access to the power of God. Each individual who has been born again has access to the power of God. Each and every one, regardless of their national identification, racial identification, if they have been born again. I didn't say if they're religious. I didn't say if they're involved in religious activity. I said if they have been born again. Then they have access. Who need to understand who they are in Christ Jesus, who need to understand what their throne rights are, need to understand they can approach the throne of God in the name of Christ Jesus and receive that which is needed. Let me read you a couple of scriptures. In Ephesians 1:19, the Bible in basic English, and how unlimited is his power to us who have faith, as is seen in the working of the strength of his power. Now that's in the Bible in basic English. When we come to the New King James Version, it reads this way, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, of his mighty power. Nothing short of the power of God could have changed me. Nothing. Nothing short of the power of God could have changed me. For that matter, nothing short of the power of God could have changed any who truly believe. I didn't say if you're religious. No, I said if you believe. If you have been born again. Because the Word of God says you must be born again. Joining the church is not being born again. Singing in the choir is not being born again. Teaching a Sunday school class is not being born again. Being involved in religious activities is not being born again. No. Being born again is when you come to God in simple childlike faith, confessing you're a sinner, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and in childlike faith asking him to come in, children of Satan. We were all born with a sin nature. Every pastor, every preacher, evangelist, the Pope, all bishops, cardinals, all were born with a sin nature. And that sin nature will reveal in the speech what they do, what they don't do, where they go, where they don't go, what they're involved in, what they're not involved in. It will reveal itself. The sin nature is going to reveal itself. Many times it's, especially in the speech. In the speech, the sin nature reveals itself in the speech, and not only in the speech, but in the attitudes. In the attitudes. Then there's the responses to others and to life. And the sin nature will reveal itself in an individual's responses to others and to life. And then it's revealed as well in the reactions to others and to life. How an unsaved person reacts to life and to others, as opposed to how one who has been born again reacts to life and to others. You see, before Christ Jesus, all were sinners. Each and every one of us, whether you're a preacher, priest, pope, cardinal, bishop, Sunday school teacher, matter not what office, before Christ Jesus, we were all sinners, which revealed itself in many different ways. We were involved in sin, we were living in sin, we were expressing sin in any number of ways. And when the truth be known, some of us did that more so than others. Some of us were steeped so deeply in sin, and our sin, all sin is grievous to God. Make no mistake about it. All sin is anathema to God, is grievous to God. But some of us in the body of Christ were more deeply involved in sin than some others. But regardless of how deep we were involved in sin or how shallow we were involved in sin, we were still sinners. Even Billy Graham, before his conversion, was a sinner. The Pope, if he's been converted, was a sinner before conversion. That's true of every man of God in the cloth, in every pulpit, every individual in the church. If they've been born again, before they were born again, were sinners. As such, we were all the children of Satan. As unbelievers, as sinners, we were the children of Satan. And Jesus, in speaking to certain of the religious leadership in his day, said this, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He is a liar and the father of it." Now, once again, Christ was speaking there to the religious leadership of the nation, for the most part. He was speaking to the religious leadership of the nation. If they were true, if that were true of the religious leadership in the days of Christ's humanity, to what degree is that prevalent today? Christ was speaking to the religious leadership when he said, "You're your father the devil." So if that was true of religious leadership in his day, to what degree is it prevalent today? Do we not still have those in positions of religious leadership who are themselves the children of the devil? How much of today's religious leadership are truly, realistically, agents of Satan? They're filling a, quote, religious position, but they themselves are agents of Satan, children of Satan. You see, satanic infection has found its way into much of what we call organized religion. Let me say that to you again. Listen to me carefully. Satanic infection has found its way into much of what we call organized religion. Segments of organized religion will countenance those things that God denounces. Those things that God denounces has found approval in much of what we call the religious organization. There's a vast difference between the religious organization and the church. The church, again, is the blood-bought, blood-washed people of God. Those who are the children of God. They've been adopted into the family of God by virtue of their having recognized themselves as sinners, believing that Christ is the Messiah, believing that on that cross he took their sins upon himself and put those sins to death in himself. But you have to understand that we have segments of organized religion that will embrace things that God himself denounces. An expression of religion cannot make right what God forbids, what God denounces. I don't care how big that expression of religion is. I don't care what kind of costumes they wear, what kind of wardrobes they wear. I don't care what kind of symbolic religious expressions they go through. They cannot approve that which God denounces. Cannot be done. And that is so prevalent today in our society. Expressions of organized religion are fulfilling the word of prophecy. Christ prophesied these days. Speaking of the Antichrist and the coming one world order, the word of God speaks. Folks, we're in those days right now. You are living in days right now where the bits and pieces are systematically, slowly but surely, and picking up speed all the time, being put into place that to bring about the one world order of which the word of God speaks. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, he spake prophecy, talking about the Antichrist. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High. Now, wait a minute. How can he persecute the saints of the Most High if the saints of the Most High are not here? See, that's why I don't buy into a pre-tribulational rapture theory, nor do I buy into a mid-tribulational rapture theory. No, I buy into a pre-wrath rapture of the church. Just before the wrath of God falls on the government of Antichrist, on the nation of Antichrist, that is when the church is raptured. Once again, in Daniel 7:25, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws. What does that mean? Intend to change times and laws. What does that mean? It means this. He will try to make right look wrong and wrong look right. Do we not have evidence of that today? Are we not faced with that every day? They're trying to make right look wrong and wrong look right. Every kind of lifestyle, the lesbian lifestyle, the homosexual lifestyle, the transgender lifestyle. You see, we're becoming so politically correct and so scripturally wrong. Even the church, a good part of the organization that calls itself the church, is buying into that same lie. Folks, it's here. It's in your face. It's reality. Once again, in the New King James Version, he's talking about the Antichrist, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High. And again, he couldn't do that if they were not here. and shall intend to change times and laws. Here again, try to make wrong look right and right look wrong. Then the saints will be given into his hand for a time and times and half a times. We determine that to be about 3.5 years. Let me give you that in the Bible in basic English. Daniel 7:25. And he will say words against the Most High, attempting to put an end to the saints of the Most High, and he will have the idea of changing times and law, and the saints will be given into his hands for a time and times and half a time. The American Standard Version in Daniel 7:25 puts this way, speaking of the Antichrist, he shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and he shall think to change the times and the laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a half a time. The political power, the Antichrist, in conjunction with the one world church. You see, there will be an individual come to power. The Bible refers to him as the Antichrist. He will be the supreme power. Might say Satan incarnate. He will be the supreme power over the governments of the world. And of course, he will condone a one world church. That one world church is in existence today. It's made up of religious leadership, religious people who have never been born again. They are leading a system of religion. They're involved in a system of religion, but they've never been born again. You see, we see in this matter of making right look wrong and wrong look right. You're faced with that every day, folks. You're faced with that every day of your life in this nation today. There are those who try to make right look wrong and wrong look right. They try to make marriage between male and a female look wrong, and marriage between a male and a male or a female and a female make that look right. And that's just one example. But folks, it's in your face. We see this occurring today. It's occurring today in your lifetime. And the church, for the most part, accepts the compromise and goes on. The church, the body of Christ, so much of the leadership in the church, from everything I can see, is accepting the compromise and moving, just going on as business as usual. God's going to have to move. He's going to have to move to change that. Business as usual, in the midst of a world that's changing daily, we can't do that. Hear me, people of God. We cannot go on with business as usual in a world that is changing daily. And in this world that is changing daily, it is ever drawing closer to the continuing fulfillment of prophecy. In your lifetime, right now, the prophetic word of God is being fulfilled. But if you don't understand the prophetic word of God, if you have not been taught the prophetic word of God, if you have not contemplated the prophetic word of God and thought about it and applied what is happening today in the nations of the world to the word of God, you'll miss it. You see, the thing that bothers me as much as anything right now is the church has yet to understand the power that is available to her. Folks, I'm drawing a very ugly picture of where we're at now. And this is where we are. I'm telling you where we are in reality. In reality, we are facing the Antichrist and the ministry of the spirit of Antichrist in the nations of the world. And the spirit of Antichrist has invaded the religious community. Notice I didn't say the church, though the church has been affected by it. The blood-washed bride of Christ has been affected by the spirit of Antichrist, has been compromised. There's been some condescension made, and we are watching this occur in our lifetime. The church has yet to understand the power that is available to her. But there's a price. There's a price to be paid to access that power. I hope if you're born again, you're listening to me. There's a price. There's a price to be paid to access that power. What is that price? It's faith and obedience. It is faith and obedience. It means submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in the life. Not just on Sunday morning from 11 to 12 or 10 to 12 or 10:30 to 12. No, not just on Sunday morning. It means submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in the life 24/7, 365. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That is what we're talking about. The price, once again, to be paid to access the power that is in the name of Jesus is faith and obedience. Submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in the life. The same power by which Christ was resurrected from the dead is available to the church. The church is the body of Christ on earth today. Do you not understand that? The blood-bought, blood-washed, born-again people of God, we are the body of Christ on earth today. And the same power which raised Christ from the dead, the same power by which he was resurrected, is available to his bride. Who's his bride? The blood-bought, blood-washed church. Those who have been born again. Ephesians 1:19. And how unlimited is his power to us who have faith, as is seen in the working of the strength of his power. Now let me read you that in another version. By which he made Christ come back from the dead and gave him a place at his right hand in heaven. Now listen to this. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Christ Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And I, as a believer priest, I, as one born again, you, as a believer priest, you, as one who's been born again, you have direct access to his throne. The child of God, one born again, has access to the power of God. But here again, you access that power through obedience, submission to his word, submission to his will after you've been born again. It's done through obedience. It's done through obedience to the word of God, through faith and in prayer. That's how it's done, folks. You say, that sounds so simple. It sounds simple. Live it. How do we access this power that's available to us? Obedience. Obedience to the word. And that's where so much of the church is failing. And then through faith. Here again, that's where so much of the church is failing. And in prayer, here again, that's where so much of the church is failing. We need obedience. We need faith. We need prayer. We need prayer prayed in accordance with the Word of God. The Word of God says in Romans 10:17, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want faith? Get into the Word. Get into the Word. Satan has done everything he can to remove the Word of God. Took it out of the classrooms. Took it away from the children. Has tried to remove the Word of God from every expression of life in the nation and in the nations of the world. So then faith comes by hearing. Satan understands that. Satan understands that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And Satan does not want you in the Word of God. He does not want you versed in the Word of God. He does not want you obeying the Word of God, because he knows that when you understand the Word of God as a child of God and you're obeying the Word of God, he knows faith is going to be developed. And that faith can undermine everything he's doing. In Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Am I speaking to people today who are diligently seeking God? Would you say of yourself, I am diligently seeking God? in the prayer closet, in the Word, in communion, in fellowship. I am diligently seeking God, not just for an hour on Sunday morning or maybe 2 hours on Sunday. No, I am seeking God day by day by day. I get out of bed in the morning and I am seeking God. And throughout the day, I am seeking God. You see, this power that's available to us is available in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, the people of God, can walk in victory. Christ Jesus has all power over every created thing and being. Did you hear me? Christ Jesus has all power over every created thing and being. His power, the power of God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, is unlimited. His power is unlimited. And it's available. It's available to the children of God. It's available to those who have been born again. How is it accessed? Through obedience to the Word, submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and in prayer. That, my friend, is how it is accessed. That is how it's accessed. In Ephesians 1:21, for over all rule, far, talk about the power of Jesus, far over all rule and authority and power, and every name which is named, not only in the present order, but in that which is to come. His power is unlimited. The Word of God speaks of that in Ephesians 1:21. Speaking of his power, has power far over all rule and authority and power, and every name which is named, not only in the present order, but in that which is to come. Ephesians 1:21, another version, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. You see, the power, his power, is supreme and absolute. His power is supreme and absolute. Satan and all the demons out of hell collectively cannot equal his power. You pull Satan and every demon out of hell together collectively, corporately, their consolidated power cannot touch the power in Christ Jesus. That power that is accessible to every believer. Those of us who've been born again have access to that power. You, child of God, you as a child of God, you have access to that power through obedience to the Word and prayer. There's a price to be paid to access that power. But you access that power through obedience to the Word, obedience to the Holy Spirit, and through prayer, in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. You claim Christ as your Lord. You claim Him as your Savior. Then why not live your life in submission to His Lordship? Why not reveal that He's your Savior by the way you live your life? Ephesians 1:22. And He, that's God, has put all things under His feet and has made Him to be head over all things to the church. Another version, He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. God the Father has placed all of creation under the power of Jesus. Are you listening to me? God the Father has placed all of creation under the power of Jesus. And the church is His body on earth today. I'm not talking about religious organizations. This is not a religious organization thing. There's some 4,000 of those on the earth. No, we're talking about the blood-bought, blood-washed people of God. Those who have been born again. The church. That is the church. All these religious organizations who call themselves a church are not the church. The church is comprised of the blood-bought, blood-washed people of God who, as a result of their identification with Jesus Christ, they've received Christ Jesus as their Savior, and as such, they have been adopted by God the Father into the family of God. That, my friend, is the body of Christ on earth today. She, for her most part, the church, for the most part, does not recognize her position in Christ Jesus. If the church, the true church, ever really recognizes her position in Christ, ever recognizes that the church is the body of Christ on earth today, that Christ Jesus expresses himself through his body on earth today, and his body on earth today is the church. And she is the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. We are not only the body of Christ, we are the bride of Christ. And all of this is affirmed in the scriptures. Folks, the scriptures teach this. I'm not making this up. This is the word of God. The word of God teaches us. Speaking of the church, and the word says in Ephesians 1:23, speaking of the church, which is his body, the full measure of him in whom all things are made complete. Ephesians 1:23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I'm giving it to you from the New King James as well as another version. I want you to see that all you cut it, this is who we are. You see, Satan understands that spiritual reality that so much of the church does not understand. The church is not only the body of Christ on earth today, the church is the bride of Christ on earth today. Satan understands that. That is why Satan combats and confronts the church at every turn. Sadly, much of the church does not understand the spiritual reality behind what I just said. That the church is the body of Christ on earth today, the church is the bride of Christ on earth today, and the bride of Christ has access into the presence of God. We, the church, on our knees in prayer, sitting in our chair in prayer, wherever we may be in prayer, we have immediate access to the throne of God. Now, you can't rush into the presence of God with sin hanging all over you. You need to keep your sin list short. Keep the sin confessed up to date. Acknowledge when you sin and confess the sin. Acknowledge when you have sinned. Confess the sin. Keep your sin list short. The moment you realize you've sinned, confess it right then and right there. Don't wait till tonight or tomorrow morning. No. Confess it right then, right there, right then, right there, no matter what you're doing. How does one become a member of the body of Christ? By being born again. Here again, the church is the body of Christ. How does one become a member of the body of Christ? By being born again. Belonging to a religious organization won't get it done. I don't care how big the religious organization may be and how old it may be, how many years it goes back or how many centuries it goes back. That doesn't get it done. No. You have to come to Christ. Receive Christ as your Savior. And that's when you become a member of the body of Christ by being born again. The duties of the members are to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my duty as one who's born again. That's your duty as one who's born again. Our duty as those who've been born again is to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life is to be separated from the world. You and I, those of us who've been born again, we're to be separated from the world. The Word of God tells us that we're salt and we're light. As salt, we're a preservative. We're to be a preservative in the country, a preservative in the society. May I say to you, quite frankly, we're failing? When you look at what has happened to this nation, when you look at what has happened to this nation, when you look at what has happened to our culture, when you look at what the nation is embracing, prayer taken out of the classrooms, Word of God taken out of the classrooms, sex education introduced into the life, into the classroom, every manner of ungodly activity introduced into the classroom. And we call ourselves a Christian nation? I don't think so. I don't think so. You see, the church is in the world, but not part of the world. We, as the body of Christ on earth today, the church, we are in the world, but we're not part of the world. Christ Jesus does what he does. Listen to me carefully. Christ Jesus does what he does through his body, the church. Did you hear me? Christ Jesus does what he does, accomplishes his will and his work, which is the church. So much of the church, or so much what is called the church, is not really the church. Here again, the blood-bought, blood-washed people of God. That is the church. But whatever Christ is going to do, he has to do through his body. Now, when we reach a point when we are failing miserably and we're not allowing him to work through us to bring about his will, his purpose, his plan in the community and in the country in which we live, then he has to take action. And folks, I'm telling you, that action has already started. You better wise up, people of God. You better get sensitive to the times which you're living. You better understand the signs of the times in which you're living. Because right now, in this hour, in this day, in our life, in this nation, we are watching the leading edges of the government of Antichrist being put into place day after day after day. Christ Jesus does what he does on earth today through the church. When the church fails, he has to move. He has to move. He has to move in judgment when the church fails. But understand this. By being a member of the church, the benefits are limitless. They're beyond description. If you ever understand who you are in Christ Jesus, if you ever truly understand what it means to be in Christ, the benefits are limitless and beyond description. Not only now, but in eternity. You see, as one who's been born again, when your last heartbeat comes, when my last heartbeat comes, I'll leave this tabernacle on earth, and I'll be received into glory, never to suffer again, never to be disappointed again, never to be discouraged again. I will be received into glory, awaiting the final consummation when everything is put into its final order and its final place, which is another altogether different message. I want to give you a word from the Word of God in closing. Now, I want you to listen to me. Here's a word from the Word of God in closing the message today. In Joel 3:14, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Multitudes in the valley of decision. I'm talking to people today. You need to make a decision for Christ. Some of you think because you belong to some religious expression that makes you right with God. No, you must be born again. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, that old Pharisee, religious movement of the nation, but he didn't know what it meant. He knew something was missing, and I'm talking to people today. You're involved in an expression of religion, and I'm not pushing any denomination. I'm presenting the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, those who've been born again. But I'm talking to people today. You have tried your best to find peace and comfort and security in your identification with a religious movement, and it's not there. It's not there because so many times that religious movement does not teach you what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very, very religious man. He was a leader among the religious crowd, but he came to Jesus by night. He knew he wasn't right with God. He knew something was wrong. In spite of all of his religious activity, in spite of all of his religious training, in spite of his seeking to serve God, to know God, he knew something wasn't right. And he went to Jesus. And Jesus just cut through everything and said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. I'm saying the same thing to you today. I'm saying the same thing to you that Jesus said to Nicodemus. For those of you who are religious, and some of you are in Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Presbyterian churches, some of you are involved in mainline denominational churches, some of you are in Catholicism, Mormonism, whatever expression of religion you may be involved in, that will not get you to glory. No, you must be born again. You may be a member of a religious movement and a very strong and large, very well organized, very well funded religious movement, but you won't heartbeat from hell if you've not been born again. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? He was a leader. He was a leader in the religious movement of that day, the Pharisees. He came to Jesus by night. He knew there's something missing. I'm as religious as I can be. I'm trying to obey all the tenets of the religious activity. I'm trying to be all that I can be in accordance with the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. The law has been fulfilled. Now for one to go to heaven when they die, they must be born again, become a new creation in Christ Jesus. So Nicodemus, that leader among the religious crowd, came to Jesus. Jesus knew what he wanted. Jesus knew what he needed. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. I'm saying the same thing to you today. Many of you are religious, but you know something's missing. I'm talking to some people today who are in church practically every time the doors open, but you're not ready to face death. You're not ready to face the angel of death. You're not ready to go out into eternity. I can tell you how to get ready. In simple, childlike faith, say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. But I believe that you're the Son of God. I want to believe. I believe in the Messiah. I want to believe you're the Messiah. I'm asking you to give me the faith to believe that you are the Messiah, that you are the Son of God, that you went to the cross, that you took my sins upon yourself on the cross, that on the cross you became a sin offering to God the Father, and you took the sins on yourself of all who believe and receive, and say to Jesus, Jesus, I want to believe. I want to receive. In childlike faith, I come to you, Jesus, saying, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Save my soul. Make me one of your own. And friend, if you will take that approach, you'll find that religion really doesn't have the answer. Salvation, being born again, that's what's needed. In a moment, we're going to pray. And I'm going to help some of you who do not know what to pray or how to pray. I'm going to help you pray. So let's go before the throne of God right now. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian. We call them backsliders. Maybe you're one who has professed Christ. But did you really receive Christ? When you professed Christ, did you possess Christ? There's a world of difference between professing Christ and possessing Christ. You see, when you possess Christ, you become a new creation. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you possess Christ, you become a new creation. Your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God. And you are at that point in time, you are enabled and empowered to stand and resist anything and everything that Satan brings against you. That does not mean you won't have a flat tire. That doesn't mean you won't have a car accident. That does not mean you'll never be sick or never have a physical problem. That does not mean that you won't worry or be upset or be discouraged from time to time. It means that, you see, those are the things we come through that test us. We have to be tested. Word of God says if you're not tested, you're not a child of His. You've got to come through the testing. You've got to come through the trials. And some of you have almost given up hope because you don't see how in the world you could be a child of God and be coming through what you're coming through, either matrimonial, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your economics, maybe in your job, maybe in your finances, and you come cast down. You're somewhat subdued. You've lost the joy. You've lost the joy of your salvation. Today is a day to reckon. Listen, Christianity is not a cakewalk. It is a walk of warfare. And Satan knows what it takes to discourage you. Satan knows what to introduce into your life to dishearten you and discourage you. And he is going to bring everything in his arsenal. If one doesn't work, he'll try another. If that doesn't work, he'll try another. What you have to do, keep your eyes on Jesus. Know beyond any shadow of a doubt, I have been born again. I am a child of God. I've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. I've been adopted into the family of God. I've been made a believer priest. I have access to the throne of God. Keep reminding yourself of who you are in Christ Jesus. And then you can stand against Satan and everything that Satan brings against you. Nowhere in the Word of God are we promised that we'll be free from the common garden variety things that happen in humanity. But we're promised this. We have a Master. We have a Lord who loves us. We have a Savior who will walk through all the disappointments of life, the discouragements of life, and yes, the diseases of life. But then I've got some listening today that way down deep in your heart, you're religious, but never born again. Your one heartbeat from hell. You're religious, involved in religious activity, and one heartbeat from hell. Why? Because Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a leader in the religious group of the nation, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. Nicodemus, you've got to understand and recognize that you're a sinner, and you've got to come to me, the Messiah, believing in me, trusting me, and in childlike faith, asking me to come into your heart, be your Lord, be your Savior. And I'm talking to how many today? You are living a life of religious deception. You have bought into a system of religion. But way down deep in your heart, the peace, the confidence, the surety that you're right with God is not there. And I'm talking to some backsliders today. I'm talking to some who've drifted away from the church. You became discouraged. You became disappointed. It may have been a divorce. It may have been a failure in the marriage. It may have been a failure in the business world. It may have been a moral failure. But for some reason, whatever reason, you drifted away from God. It's time to come home. Like the prodigal. Like the prodigal. The prodigal came home and said to his father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And some of you feel that way today. You could say to God the Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But I want to come home. I want to come home. I want to embrace you. I want to start afresh, anew. Let's pray. And why don't you do that today, shall we? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity of sharing the Word of God today. I thank you for the opportunity of sharing my heart today. I thank you for the opportunity of sharing something of my life today. And I thank you for the opportunity of sharing your life, Jesus. And Father, you've got people who are listening to this today who desperately, desperately need a fresh touch. Father, we've got some listening today who are religious but lost. Religious, but never born again. I'm asking you, my Lord and my God, to cut through the deception of the religious movement and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Save their souls. Write their names in the Lamb's Book of Life and Glory so that when they die, they will immediately be in heaven one split second after they die. And Father, for that one who's discouraged and for those who have been backslidden and for that one who is discouraged today, I'm asking you to give them a fresh sense of hope, a fresh sense of who they are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, for the one that is backslidden, let them come back to you just saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I backslid. I went away. I walked away. But I'm coming home. And like the prodigal, receive them, oh Jesus, receive them with all the love and affirmation. Bring them into the body. Encourage them, strengthen them. Lord, we need a move of your Holy Spirit in the nation. We need a move of your Holy Spirit in the church, revitalizing, renewing, strengthening. And I am asking you, my Lord and my God, bring us that move of your Holy Spirit, restoring, renewing, reviving. And Father, today, grant that some lost soul will simply come to you in childlike faith, saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save my soul. Adopt me. Bring me into the family of God. And Father, we will give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise for what you do as a result of this message and this invitation. And we say thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen and amen. Well, thanks for joining us today here on Challenge. And until we have a chance to do this again, be ever so blessed. Be ever so blessed.